Well, in the first half, I'll tell you all about me going to Blues Traveler, maybe getting up on stage and doing a little background singing, and super crazy home invention Gina's found, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man? Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No, I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
We're back inside the toolbox, minute by minute, mile by mile, with digital precision and analog style. The station that won't say no once you get our top off. You are here inside the toolbox. We're rolling the doobies inside another super set of 70s hits, spinning this 78 from 78. You know, a wise man once said, if you're high, don't smoke more weed. You don't get more high, you just get less weed. Don't be a don't be. Do be a doobie on the toolbox.
Hey, don't worry, I've been lied to. I've been here many times before. Girl, don't you worry, I'm a West End. I don't need this love. I don't need your hand.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Greg Fitzsimmons. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the only mandate he supports is to get it on. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on! Got to get it on. No choice, but we got a mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Get this piece of shit off the air.
Well, got some Sonic Kismet coming your way.
Band name.
Yeah. So as we tape this on a Friday, I'll be heading out to Five Point Amphitheater or something. It's not Irvine Meadows anymore. But that direction. And Blues Traveler shall be playing along with Jewel.
Nice.
John Popper just keeps telling me how great she is. Like, oh, she's doing things. It's vocally, she's yodeling. Oh, nice. It's interesting because John really is kind of a student of music. And he brought Jewel on and he wasn't like that totally, he hadn't seen her live. And he's like, she's just killing it, man. She's doing all these things every time I talk to him. And it's weird because, you know, sometimes when people share the same stage, like comedians or something, they'll go, his set was okay. But they don't
he'll get there.
They don't wax poetic and glow and gush. And he's gushing. So
nice.
Well,
are you going to get there in time to see the opening act? At this point, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
He's a secure man, or he would not gush. But, it's interesting. The gushers are secure. You know, like John's such a great vocalist that he's able to heap tons of praise on Jewel. But so because John Popper's John Popper, he's this very thoughtful guy. And he must be sober. I don't know. Because, you know, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, said, well, I won't be able to see you in Red Rocks, but I'll come out and see you in Irvine. And I just kind of let it go. And then I'm busy as shit. But I had planned on sending him a text like the night before just to see where they were at. I was going to remind him, hey, we're coming out. But, of course, he got hold of me first yesterday afternoon. Like, hey, still coming? Got tickets? Here's my manager's number. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're coming out. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to bring Sonny. And then he writes, I know, then he writes back. He goes, I say, are you going to do this song that that I like? The one he, Chris, we didn't have, or maybe we had some footage of it at Red Rocks, but one of our friends was there and said he dedicated it to me, or he shouted out to me.
Right. Yeah, I have some footage.
Regarding Steven, I think it's a song. So I like that one. So I then I write him back, and I go, and so he writes back, and he goes, I checked, it's not my turn to pick the set, which I don't know. You love that about the guy. It's like he's the lead guy. He should be able to just pick the set. But
you'll hear about this in football. You know, the guys from Pittsburgh, they're playing in Pittsburgh that weekend. Hey, can I have a couple of your content? Because I got family in town or whatever.
Yeah, but it's not his turn to pick the set. So he said, I checked regarding Steven with I can't remember the name of the band member whose turn it is to create the set. And he said, okay.
So John, that's nice. John, mighty nice of him.
John vetted it and he said, fine. Now John can sing his ass off while that guy plays the bass or what have you. And then, so I said, oh, okay. And then he said, God, he wrote a text that said like, hey, you want to come out and, do a little backup singing.
What?
They're not going to have your mic on.
What?
This is going to be a Linda Eastman situation.
You're going to have a tambourine like Yoko.
That was covered. Oh, wait. We'll play a little bit from Red Rocks.
Yeah, this is right after he dedicated the song to you.
Oh, okay. So this is one of our friends up in the Red Rocks.
Hey, good for this guy for doing shooting landscape.
Yeah.
I'd like to discuss our mutual pain. I can't help but feel that I left ending.
All right, so we get it. So he goes, you want to do some backup singing?
Yes.
God. On a song.
Yes, you do.
This is the man show bit come to life.
Yeah.
I know. So I said, what are we doing? And he goes, well, first I'll play a song that was stuck in my head, and I'll bring it around. So we were talking about UFO and what a great sort of under the radar, underappreciated rock band. But all the guys who really love rock music and all the guys who are in bands love UFO, but they're a little bit outside of the top 40. But I was thinking of the song I never played, which was this song, which is called Rock Bottom. And it'll lead me into this. This is their live album. They just sound like a rock band, these guys. So great rock band live, and I was thinking about that song, but I didn't play it when we were talking about playing UFO. So then I said to John, you know, what song shall I be backing?
Hitting the oohs and ahs on.
And he said, well, you know, for the first time on tour, and I don't know how the math works, but we have three bass players.
Oh. Wow.
And they're all available to come out on stage. So we're going to play a song that we never play that needs a lot of bass players. And I said, okay, what song is this? And Chris will play. It's got a bottom theme to it.
The fucking TV, the movie band. Spinal Tap.
Come on, Gina.
Oh my god.
Said needs a lot of bass players.
When you said three bass players, I was like, that's the Spinal Tap method.
The bigger the cushion, the sweeter the potion. That's what I said. My baby fits me like a flesh tuxedo. I'd like to sink her with my pink torpedo. Big bottom, big bottom. Talk about bum cakes. My girl's got them. Big bottom, drive me out of my mind. How could I leave this behind?
So you'll be guesting on this?
Three bases.
Yes.
I met her on Monday.
Twas my lucky bum day.
You know what I mean. I love her each weekday. Each velvet, each cheap day. You know what I mean.
So he says, he goes, we're opening with Big Bottom.
We're opening.
Yes.
Wow, bold. So,
yeah, that is a choice.
And the lead guy from Train is going to be out there singing. God. And so he's like, so we need you there ready when we go out.
Wow.
Because
better that way, because then you can drink afterwards.
That's right.
It's over.
Yes. That's
Are
right.
you going to be practicing? Do you know where you come in?
He sent me the lyrics. I don't know. He literally goes, we'll have your mic turned down. It won't be too hot. Don't worry about it. And I was like, there is no back. There's this, but we'll be doing Big Bottom. And I think
awesome.
John is going to nail Big Bottom because he's got the range for that song.
That's incredible.
That's going to be great.
I know. I was like, oh, that's so fun. It's also fun when I saw the Bare Naked Ladies, they did the... In the middle of their set, they did the theme to Happy Days.
Cool. But they really did it.
You know, and it's like, this is what happens when you get to a certain age and a certain place in your career, and you don't have to be all serious and do these MTV interviews and stuff. I mean, Blues Traveler always had a sense of humor, but you're working out of the system now. We're not worried about what the next album is,
right.
And is it going platinum and all that. And then you get to the stage where you get to have fun.
Yeah.
No one in the audience would ever complain if pick a couple of cover songs, especially inspired or fun ones.
No, that's going to be what people are talking about.
Yes.
So, I saw the almost famous British band Travis do an inspired cover of The Weight by the band, which mm-hmm. is great. But what they really got known for, and this was very inspired because they took it in a new direction and made it their own. They did a cover of Baby One More Time
by
Britney Spears, and it became kind of a minor hit like on rock radio. Do we have some of that?
Travis had a K-Rock hit.
Yeah. I think that it was Why Does Always Rain on Me was a minor hit. Driftwood was kind of a minor hit. I mean, they were like almost there. They almost got over the hump.
Writing to Reach You.
From K-Rock.
Yeah, they were a Scottish band. Oh. They never quite hit it out of the park.
Chris has Bare Naked Ladies ready with Happy Days. I didn't even know that was on the internet.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Who wouldn't be happy when this happens?
We've obviously rehearsed this quite many times. Happy
and free. And it takes all of a minute and a half.
Hello, blue. Nothing can hold me when I hold you. It's all right. They can't go wrong. Sucking and fucking all me.
Oh, wow. Those are the actual lyrics.
I didn't realize that.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Grooving all week with you.
Keep a look.
That's good.
That's awesome.
This is why being in a band must be the best thing ever, because
you can do whatever you want.
You see how joyful everyone's having a good time. You know, people do that with, you know, they think other performing that way. But stand up, if you're kind of thinking about, like, what is the next thing? What are we going into? That guy's just playing the piano and he's back in his mom's dining room in 1977. He's just getting paid.
That's right. While they look for Travis, I'll hit you with a little bit of music, not trivia, just something I learned. I thought of it because he mentioned John Popper. You've heard the phrase belting it out.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We've all heard it.
A belter.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay,
I grew up being told you're a belter.
What its origin is.
Like everyone else, I just thought it meant like you're fucking belting it out, like you're just letting it fly.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dawson or Chris know this. Belting is a kind of singing. Like it's that growl you've heard in 1,000 songs. John Popper does it all the time. It's that growl when you're singing, you get a little bit of that growl going. That's a belt.
Really?
Yeah, that is.
Because in musicals, you're a belter if you're able to really project loudly.
It has kind of become synonymous with just letting it fly and letting it go.
So a belt is that sound.
It's that growl. Topper does it all the time. He'll do it 20 times a concert.
I've never
learned that. I'll count tonight. So would a Bengal tiger belt...
I believe it's specific to a style of singing.
Style of singing.
Yes. Oh, okay. A growl would be what an animal does.
I think a belt is like what Whitney Houston does, like when she just lets it fly. There's still a note. It's still a solid note.
I just told you a fact, and for some reason you decided to hit me with what you think.
In his heart.
My truth is that a belt is... Yeah,
Google's truth is derives from the idea of belting your opponent in the boxing ring.
Okay.
Belting
I just told you guys
song.
Facts.
Where did this fact come from?
A singing coach.
Because I've been singing since I was 10 years old privately, and I've never heard this in my life.
I've gone down the rabbit hole of watching singing coaches on YouTube judging other singers, and it was actually Amy Lee from Evanescence. She did a belt. Like, oh, nice belt right there.
Mm. All right. Well, see, that's why. You'll learn. All right. So.
Do you guys want to hear Travis?
Oh, yeah. What they say?
It's inspired. Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Trying to think of their K-Rock hit.
Totally reinvented.
I may need a mop.
This is great.
Something wasn't right here.
Sultry.
This is fucking sexy. And he looks like Aaron Paul.
Hey, Chris.
For real, Chris.
Yeah, seriously.
To show me how you are.
There are some sopping panties in that audience.
It's a great song.
And I'm talking about the dudes.
Ooh, there you go.
I like that.
It's good.
Makes up for your belting fact.
What is Trav now? Chris going to find Travis's K-Rock, the head. A K-Rock hit in the 90s or the later 90s. I recall from being on K-Rock.
It looks like their biggest song is Writing to Reach You, so it seems like that's a song we'd know, but the title doesn't do anything for me.
Well, if we hear it, maybe we'll know it. Shifting gears. Gina's got some hot laundry talk.
It's
I'm
true.
I'm interested in.
Hit us with a fact.
Now, the Recyclarola was genius. I think we can all get on board with that. But somebody has sort of adapted it and possibly taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
I went down a random rabbit hole. I like these invention accounts on Instagram and, you know, all these like cool design things. And this, I was like, oh, this is something that Adam should have in his house. See that hole? There's a hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. And it has like a little like tab attached to it. And it's not just any laundry chute. Mm. Watch what happens when
it
activates.
Yes,
exactly.
I've seen this.
You throw it sort of toward the wall, it sucks it in, and it's gone.
The hole's about 6 inches around.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go, it's not a very big hole. It's the size of a lid of a big can of beans or something.
Yeah,
you know,
like a pickle
jar. How big's a sock or T-shirt, especially with some vacuum action?
Mm-hmm. How do you like that?
No, that's nice. I don't know whether to... I'm just weird. When does it kick on or how do you kick it on? I will tell you there's a couple of – I have a house that has two things that are the built-in blender, countertop blender from the 50s and the 60s. We've talked about this before. There's innovation that you use and then there's kind of innovation that – you don't really need, but it's still innovation. Yeah. So, like, I'm just sort of thinking, like, in your car, there's the rain-sensing wipers. So most all new cars, I'm guessing all new cars now, when it starts raining, the wipers just sort of come on. Mm-hmm. It's fine, but kind of unnecessary. Yeah. I've never really not been able to turn my wipers on. It's right by my hand. You flick it. I get it. It's kind of cool. Sometimes if it'll misfire, and not even misfire, but like the car in front of you is blowing the wiper spray and it goes over the car and it hits your windshield and yours will come on. And maybe you wanted it to, maybe you didn't, but I'm fine with that. Then there's all this weird innovation from the 50s and the 60s, like the kitchen of the future and the toasters built into the countertop and the thing that drives the blenders built in with the 6-speed whatever.
Because you'll never want to replace that.
I moved into a house, like a 70s house, 60s house that had that innovation, but it only works with one blender.
That's what I'm saying.
And it broke.
Yeah.
And now what?
And we never had another. No one ever. There was no, oh, I'm going to go online and find the. It was a glass blender. It hooked up. It dropped in. Had a kind of male-female spline drive. We never replaced it.
No.
It just sat on the counter. And we had an actual blender sitting on top of it.
There's an albatross.
Yes.
I
live in a house that has the whole house vacuum, which is a complete and utter waste of time.
I told you, Chris, your grandparents' house had that.
It's like you drag out this thing that's twice as heavy and twice as big and twice as cumbersome as an actual vacuum now, especially since they're all battery operated.
Imagine like outlets, Gina, like where you would just plug the thing, like the tube.
You'd plug the tube in. You'd also plug the jack in for electrical too. And then you drag this thing in the next room. Well, now Bissell or whomever,
Dyson,
they make a battery operated one. It's a stick that's twice as light and twice as
So this innovation doesn't account for future innovation.
Yes, it does not. And it never, even at the time, what's the difference between dragging an upright vacuum from room to room and plugging in one plug versus this piece of pool cleaning apparatus that looks like when someone's vacuuming your pool's got a hose on it. It's big. You have to plug the hose in, then you have to plug in the electrical part too.
Yeah, 30 yards of tube you have to carry.
And everyone who lives in a house that has that has a maid, and the maid just drags the vacuum cleaner from, she doesn't want to plug the fucking thing in. But all right, and then theoretically it all ends up in a hopper in the garage, and then you have to go out and change that. And
it looks like a tank, a water tank.
Takes up space. It's innovation that's never utilized. Stupid. The other thing my house has, I forgot about, it has a little dumbwaiter.
And oh, that's
electric
fun.
Dumbwaiter. It's fun in, you know, Laurel and Hardy movies and stuff. The idea is like you're going to come in and you're going to put the groceries here and then it's going to meet you up. It doesn't really work that well and you never use it. And then you have to like open the door. And by the time you get through, you got to put it in. Yeah. You got to do it. You got to shut the door. Groceries. And then you go, just walk the fuck up the stairs with the bag.
Can you imagine if you and Ray had access to a house with a dumbwaiter?
Oh, my God.
All I can tell you is, when I got that house, it didn't work. But by the way, the other thing is nothing ever worked.
Sure.
It didn't work. I took the whole goddamn thing apart, fixed the diode, oiled the chain, got it working. A month later, somebody like Olga put a thing of groceries in there, headed up. Some container fell out, got wedged in like the mechanism.
Bye-bye, dumbwaiter.
Shorted the fucking thing out, and it is no longer operable.
That's good.
But I tried.
That's laid plans.
Yeah.
The jet is activated when the port is open when it comes to the hamper. Whether manually or by sensor.
Yeah, you can upgrade to a sensor and the port will open on its own.
So as soon as you start throwing something its way.
And then after you walk away or maximum of 17 seconds, the port will just close automatically.
I like it. And I'll tell you why I like it. whether it's the dumbwaiter, the laundry chute, it's fine, but also laundry doesn't weigh much. You put it in the basket and walk it down to the whatever. But you do not have to live with your stinky socks, which sits in the same room.
And it's very spoonful of sugar. I mean, this is like, talk about making cleanup fun. Who doesn't want to throw shit at that all day?
No, that was sort of the thought behind the Recyclarola, which is it could be something to do versus just letting stuff pile up.
The horror movie version is the toddler walks by and senses it.
Of course.
Well, if you notice in newer construction, if you go to a home or you go to a hotel or something like that on the deep end where the drain used to be, there are now two drains next to each other.
Oh.
Probably about 2 feet apart.
I didn't notice.
Nope.
And in jacuzzis, too, because too many people got their ass stuck in the drain.
I haven't heard this.
Oh.
Like their trunks get knotted up or something?
No, Gina, literally their asshole.
They're
prolapse.
They have. They've had a jacuzzi situation where it literally like pulled the guts out of the person.
All right.
Yeah, and they've had other ones where it's like
ten year old
kid just got his butt stuck to it, and he's just being pinned to the deep end of a swimming pool.
Oh my God. I didn't realize.
Oh yeah. So now,
did he drown?
Yeah. Eventually, I think he's by now.
Well,
yeah, no,
that was stuck. And
I gotta check. I'll put a call in during the break. Yeah, he's drowned. That could go. Kids drown all the time. They did all the time.
That way is insane.
It's one drain. You sort of have that vacuum. Put your hand over. Boom.
Right.
You know what I mean. Yeah. Once you get the lock, If you get the butt lock on a drain, it's on the deep end. You can't stand up. It's probably not going to work if you're 40, but if you're 9 or 7 or something.
So two drains is essentially splitting the suction in half.
Yeah, so it'd be like a Y. So it'd have the same single drain that would Y out, and they made some sort of code where it had to be like 2 foot apart or something like that. But you'll see new pools have double drain, so if you clog one side, it's not going to create the vacuum.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a thing. It's a code now. Must have been, I don't know, Chris,
I'm seeing like stories that date back even like 2007. Kids are just getting their intestines just ripped out of their buttholes.
That is not funny.
It's a cure for colon cancer.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So now there's two. But it's also one of these things where when you're building the pool for the price of $6 worth of PVC pipe, one 90 elbow, couple of nipples, one 18 inches, a T over there. Well, there's no cement or gunite or anything. It's 45 minutes with a plumber and another $80 all in with labor to do that.
This is something
money well spent.
Which they knew. I mean, they've always known it, which is another kind of a bizarre kind of human trait.
Like old school race car driving. Yeah, it's very deadly. What are you going to do?
Well, how about you take a little hoop of metal and put it higher than the guy said? This is the way we do it.
Yeah.
That's the throat protector for catchers.
Yes.
Well, why not just, the guys are going to their larynx crush it on the regular. Hey, how about this?
I think Jaeger invented that. Steve Jaeger. So it's one of these things where we've known it. You know how it works. It's inherently dangerous because there's a thing at the deepest point of the pool that will suck people down to it. And, there are parts of life where people go, we should have giant parachutes on commercial airliners. And it's like, it's not that easy. It's not going to work. What do you mean? How big is that parachute going to be? How are they going to land it?
Blocks out the sun.
It's like there's not enough commercial airline crashes to really warrant retrofitting, whatever. But the pool, that's something they've known since they were putting pools in the ground.
Oh my God.
And it's the easiest physics in the world. Just literally have two pop up instead of one. Never did it. And jacuzzis too. Same thing.
That makes sense.
I'm going to be looking at a lot of cement ponds before my child gets in it.
Every pool constructed after 2010 shall have at least two main drains per pump. So there you go. Again, super easy fix. It's 2010. They started building the pools in 1931. you guys had a run. You had an 80-year run of no second drain.
That's shocking.
It is. And yes, it pins them down there or worse.
As much as I hate that we had this conversation and it's going to give me nightmare fuel, this conversation probably will have saved many lives.
Yes.
I've never heard of this before.
Yes. And the other thing I've learned from women and having kids and pools, most women in Los Angeles, much more concerned with the three-year-olds not drinking tap water versus falling into the pool, or at least an equal amount of concern for each, which is a fascinating glimpse into the psyche of a lady.
And I told you at our local pool in the valley, nobody, if you are a baby, it doesn't matter. There are no flotation devices allowed in the pool. Do you remember why? Because these dumb fucks were putting floaties on their kids and walking away and catching some Z's in the lounge chairs. And then finally the pool is just like, where are these? But you know what? No more floaties. Because we can't trust you to not watch your kid if there's floaties on.
Get their assholes sucked out.
Exactly.
All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Does anything matter more than safety? Well, I think we're on that subject, aren't we? Of course not. And there's a lot of security companies out there, but they don't act that way. I trust and recommend Simply Safe. This is a great product, streamlined, peel and stick, no drilling, no pulling wires, no crawling around, no technician/ex-con coming by the house. 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe's agents dispatch police, first responders the moment a threat is detected, even if you're not home or can't be reached. Just a buck a day, no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Adam. Go today for free indoor security camera plus 20% off interactive monitoring at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, take a quick break. Come back, play that Rotten Tomatoes game in a controversial update from the last time we played right after this. You own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. It can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dozen names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Well, just a little update. The audiobook, Everything Reminds Me of Something, shall be coming out tomorrow. As you hear this, Dawson has done a masterful job on that book. And it's pretty damn funny, if I do say so myself. It plays kind of like a, I don't know, six-hour comedy album. So if you enjoy that, we'll just order it now, and then it'll show up tomorrow, I guess.
I imagine it's instant, right?
Yeah.
I would think
right?
so.
Well, it drops on Tuesday. Right, but if you order it now, it'll drop the next day. I don't know. Or play it safe and wait.
It'll be like, I don't know. It'll be like when you two magically showed up on your phone, but people will be happy about this.
Yes, the ban. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Controversy?
Hmm?
Controversy?
Controversy. Oh, yes. Controversy.
I don't know.
Well, I was informed the last time we played this was in Springfield, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And that I eked out a win based on a 5-point deduction for, was it Thelma and Louise?
No, so you got a 5-point deduction for Inglourious Basterds, but the score was just so tight between all of you. If you recall, Adam, you had a score of 31, Brian had a score of 33,
Go!
And Gina had a score of 38.
Mm.
But the last round, we did Thelma and Louise, and Brian guessed 86%. And when we put up the score, on this is recorded July 15th. The score was 85%. So Brian had 1 point. Was 1 point off. But when the show aired on Monday, people checked the score, and the score seemed to have been updated to 86%.
Oh my!
And
God.
So had we
kidding?
Played the game Monday, Brian would have
me?
Won because wow. he would have had that 5-point deduction.
35-year-old movie.
That's crazy.
So how many reviews? Do we know? It doesn't matter. One
I'll
or two. I mean,
sec.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but so the review came in July 18th from a guy named James Luxford. He said, he wrote, Thelma and Louise still has a lot to say that is relevant today.
Oh, my God.
A thrilling story of friendship, feminism, and one of the most memorable ending scenes you'll see in the movie.
Wow, that's hilarious.
I'm claiming that.
Asterisk.
So there it is.
Yeah, wow. There's 76 reviews of this movie.
That's fucking
brutal. Wow. And there were 75 when we played the game.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well,
gross.
Let's see.
That would have given me a 5-point deduction.
Well,
actually,
can,
a 6-point swing.
You can make it up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's
I
see really if you got what it takes.
All right. Well, this time of year, parents everywhere are taking a well-deserved break by shipping off their children to be someone else's problem for a while. In honor of these heroes, we bring you movies either about or featuring sleepaway summer camps.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gotta have sleepaway camp. Mm. Come on.
After a few failed attempts to murder their newborn brother, two siblings are sent to summer camp against their will. This son and daughter duo have a hard time fitting in and eventually find it much easier just to burn the camp to the ground.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Starring Christopher Lloyd, Angelica Houston, Raul Julia, and Christina Ricci
yeah,
from 1993, Adam's Family Values.
Something tells me this isn't going to be lousy with certified freshness, this game.
These
this
shows.
This is the sequel, yeah.
Yes.
It's funny. I don't know. Adam's Family, the TV show, the Munsters, these shows ran 2 seasons, 3 seasons.
Like Star Trek.
It wasn't fucking MASH
yeah.
or All in the Family or anything. And they were arguably, demonstrably bad. And somehow there's some room in our psyche and our society where like, oh yeah, like kind of that. But it's a weird thing. It's like, and it's also wiring. Like who has it? Like we talk about all the time. It's like my parents were downtrodden, poor ass, busted ass losers. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to fucking work. Now, most of society goes, his dad was a busted ass loser and his mom drank. So of course he drinks and of course he's on the sofa. And I'm like, why is that? That's the math.
Yeah,
you got a front row seat to lethargy, and now
you
you're
must
not.
Imitate.
Now you must imitate.
Right.
And I feel the same way about Land of the Lost, the movie, or Addams Family, or all the Munsters. Yeah. It's like saying, my mom had a Nash Metro for about a year. Do you guys know what a Nash Metro is?
That could literally be anything.
I know a Geo Metro, but yeah, that's as close as I can get to you.
I'm pretty sure this is a Nash Metro. We call it the Weenie Top car when I was six or seven. And you guys will recognize the Nash Metro. Okay. It's a funky little 50s, 60s piece of like, or it could be a Nash Rambler. Maybe it's a Nash Rambler. Piece of Americana. You'll go, oh, that car.
Oh, that does look like a hot
does
dog.
Sound.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. There were little chunks of shit, right? Okay.
They look like cartoon cars.
But they didn't work.
Very slow frame Roger Rabbit.
Someone in Greece would pull for the prom.
She had a VW Squareback. Was bad VW station wagon. Yeah. Smelled like gasoline inside because the engine was inside the trunk. She had a Dodge Dart from the 60s. She had many, as we discussed, like many piles of shit that you could buy for $400 during the day. Okay. I grew up around that. Now, Gina asked me, how many Dodge Darts do I own? Or how many Nash Metros do I own? Or how many VW Squarebacks do I own?
How many
fucking
Dodge-
zero! Because they're a piece of shit. They're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But half... half of our society goes, oh, I remember.
How kitschy.
Oh, back in the day, we had it was a piece of shit. When my mom owned it in 1972, it was a piece of shit. It's a piece of shit now. It's a piece of shit when it came off the assembly line. And I feel the same way about the Addams Family and the Munsters and Land of Lost. Yeah. These were pieces of shit back then.
Yeah.
I know they're pieces of shit you remember. I remember the Hungry Man Salisbury steak. I'm going to Morton's.
Yeah.
What is this thing? It's a multi-kajillion dollar a year business selling people shit that they remember that sucked when they were nine. But what is it?
Yeah, that was my question about all these shows. I was asking you guys, was this good? Like, actually good?
No.
It had the laugh track, didn't it?
Yes, course, the original Addams Family was two seasons. I mean, it's from 1968 to 1970 or 57. Why? It's two seasons. It's who cares?
I don't know. How did they do Thing back then with that CGI?
He was just a super tall guy. Spoke real slow. Or oh,
the
Thing.
Hand.
No, oh, Thing. Lurch. Yeah. Oh, low. I can't remember. Was it?
A
did it come
string?
Out of a box?
Oh, it was, maybe.
That yeah. a hand in a box. It didn't
it
run
was in
around.
A box.
It
okay.
stayed in a box.
Oh, that's my question. Okay.
It was a. Here's how they did everything. They took a round table, like a cocktail type table. They cut a hole in it. Then they put a huge long tablecloth around it. Mm-hmm. Then they take a wooden box with a hole in the bottom of it. And then they put somebody underneath that thing with a glove. And most that were for many movies and many things, just like hand coming. Oh, it's coming from the table. Yeah. What's the tablecloth hitting the ground for? Sid Croft from Sid and Marty Croft is coming on this show.
No. What?
Oh, nice.
I'm sorry. Should we leave you two alone? Will this be a one-on-one? I don't trust you to be that close to him by yourself.
He wrote Chris, reached out to Chris, said, I know Adam thinks my work is a pile of shit.
What?
And that it poisoned the mind of America.
Yep.
I'd like to come on and talk about it.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
And he loves Adam, by the way. He's a big fan of Adam.
Are you?
The sad part.
Okay, but here's the thing. You and I have like a very similar, like, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want comfort. Like, are you kind of nervous? It's uncomfortable. He knows you hate him.
I'll probably enjoy speaking to Fitzdog in the second hour more. I do think I think something will come of it.
An understanding.
I think there'll be some growth. And I can never, if a guy like that, he was, you know, 90 years old, and you can argue about the product all you want, but you can't argue about the success. The sure. success is ubiquitous. I mean, those guys, Sid and Marty Krofft did 11 shows that were part of everyone's childhood.
Proof in the pudding.
Everyone knows the theme songs and stuff. So you can't argue with that. You can argue with the product. But
Mr. Brightside.
But anyone who goes, I've heard what you had to say. I want to come in and talk about it. I'm like, you can never step back from that challenge. That makes you a coward.
Yeah.
You
can't, you're right.
It's out there. He reached out.
You cannot
back away from that.
No, this is going to be appointmentless.
If it is one-on-one, I'm showing up.
I'm sitting on the floor.
I'll be looking through the window.
All right. So.
Adam's Family Values.
First movie.
Can't be good, but like a good cast.
Yeah. I think the first one was kind of well received. It was like a family film.
Yeah, so. They're all for kids, essentially. I'm locked in.
Okay. Oh, God. You know, sometimes the critics like camp, too.
Camp and camp.
All right. I go barely fresh at 61.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think this is good, but I don't think it's terrible. I said 54.
I'm speechless. I said 36.
Adam's Family Values is certified fresh.
Shut the fuck up.
76%.
Wow.
Oh, and the people have it at 63. This is a kind of a nostalgic camp that I think they like.
This is insane. A sequel where the kids go to camp is 76?
Yeah.
Well, the summer turns sour when a crazed fitness fanatic turns a fat camp into a living nightmare by subjecting the campers to punishing exercise routines and purging cabins of hidden food stashes. The kids and counselors are left with no choice but to team up and take him down. Starring Ben Stiller, Aaron Schwartz, and Tom McGowan from 1995, Heavyweights.
Anybody see this?
I saw this recently for the first time. It's incredibly stupid, but I will tell you it's beloved by a lot of people. I don't know the critics were kind to it. I just know that a lot of people were telling me you got to see Heavyweights. I'm like, really? This movie's fucking dumb.
The movie that I think was one of the most overrated camp movies was Meatballs with Bill Murray. Yeah, yeah. Everyone loved that. That's some like stupid gags where there's like, oh, there's the counselor we hate. So we go into his cabin at night, we pick up his bed, and we move it into all sorts of bizarre places. Like one time it's on top of a bus, next time it's on a dock by a lake, and he wakes up and rolls over into the lake. It's like, don't you think someone would wake up if you
first?
And four kids moved the guy's cot he was sleeping on over rough terrain out to a dock?
This movie has a lot of crossover with Goonies and especially The Sandlot in the sense that you had to see this at the right time, like when you were like 12.
But do critics like it because they were former fat kids who were bullied and
it's
whatever?
Got, it's got sweetness to it. And Ben Stiller, Paul Feig's in this. Like it's got,
Wow. Well, I don't know what's
Paul
up
Feig's
and down.
Paul Feig's in it?
Yeah, he's like an actor.
Oh,
he's
okay.
one of the counselors.
Oh, okay.
Almost positive.
What year was this?
90s.
Two?
Okay.
I have no clue.
The year is 1995.
Who wrote it? Do we know? Was this a Ben Stiller? Did Ben Stiller get involved
Apatow
with writing
in this?
Or Apatow? Yeah, I think
Apatow is definitely involved. Let me see.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say either.
Yes, Judd wrote it.
Judd wrote it.
Oh, well, shit.
Oh, boy. I'm sticking with 61.
Oh.
That's all I got.
Oh, it's 60.
I don't want to go too low again. I said 58.
Heavyweights is rotten.
Shit.
29%.
I don't
feel
get
good
this
now.
Game.
I actually feel good about that.
Okay.
Because the movie's dumb.
People have it at 77, wow. So this is one of those. They loved it. The folks did, but not the critics.
It's only 7 reviews.
It's weird for a movie everyone's heard of.
This next movie features a familiar yet disfigured face as he finds himself in a nightmare of his own, as people aren't as afraid of him as they once were. He enlists the help of another supernatural serial killer.
Now we're talking.
But the two just can't seem to get along and end up turning on each other, resulting in a final battle of the Titans at Camp Crystal Lake.
Oh.
Starring Robert Englund as Freddy and Ken Kurtzinger as Jason from 2003, Freddy vs. Jason.
Okay.
2003.
Was this ironically enjoyed, or was it just garbage?
I mean, I would imagine people thought it was like kitschy fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Godzilla versus King Kong or whatever.
They will go at some point, much like fashion or interior decorating, at a certain point, it gets so bad, it gets good again. Like, it's like, oh, it's like fair foods. It's a deep fried Snickers bar that's rolled in Jimmy's.
Oh,
like,
I gotta try it.
It's like, it gets into a, the critics will get into this. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
As long as the critics think they knew what they were doing, like, oh, they had their tongues firmly planted in their cheeks when they did this, then they'll go, 77. Yeah. You know, they'll bump these things. Or they did try to make a scary movie. It was a piece of shit, and it's, you know, 23.
A disaster.
All right.
So 23 to 77.
This could be a big swing.
Yes.
And did you guys see the trailer for Halloween Ends? Is that what it's called?
The new one?
Yeah.
Maybe.
With Jamie Lee Curtis now being like, fuck this. I got to end this. She fights him. That's what the trailer looked like.
All right.
I don't know where to go with this.
I don't know where to go either. And then they may have tried for comedy, too.
True.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We locked in?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I'm going low at 27.
Same. 33. All right.
Freddy vs. Jason is rotten at 41.
Okay. Okay.
I was considering like a 70-something score.
In this whimsical indie romance, a preteen escapes his Boy Scout camp to run away with the love of his young life.
Oh, no.
All the while, he is being tracked by his fellow scouts.
Fuck this movie.
Who are both armed and dangerous with the most eccentric weapons Wes Anderson can think of. Starring Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Frances McDormand, and Bruce Willis from 2012, Moonrise Kingdom.
Never saw it.
Oh, you're going to find it quirky.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This was like the Wes Anderson going off the edge. Yeah. Like, he went up his own ass. He went into the pool, sat at the filter.
Oh, no.
But kind of a critic's darling.
Oh, I'm sure it's a high Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, man.
I hated it, but the critics fucking can't get enough of this asshole.
This was enough for me. Like, I just saw the poster and Wes Anderson, and I was like, all right, I'm out.
We get it.
We get it. I know what. But, Brian, you saw it in the theater?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Why?
Well, this is 2013. He hadn't gone, you know, crazy at this point. And Wes Anderson is a notable writer-director. Yeah. I feel like I kind of have to see his movies.
All right, so now there's what Brian thought of it versus hipster critics.
Yeah.
It has to be at least – there's a floor to this movie, Rotten Tomatoes wise.
Because Bill Murray's in it. And
well, it was Anderson. He's catnip for, you know.
Right, stylized. But is he catnip now?
That's a good question. I think French Dispatch wasn't loved. But this is, again, what is it, 2013?
Right.
Something like that?
Yeah. All right.
A decade ago.
2012.
There you go.
Is Brian playing rope-a-dope with us, Gina?
I think he's being pretty honest about how it sucks and he's pissed that it's a high score.
Right.
So I'm going with that.
But when he's talking about how high the critics are going to go and then he comes in at 64 and then he gets emphatic and goes, I hated it.
You're right.
All right.
I'm up for blood after I got screwed in the last game.
All right. You guys in?
Yeah. He can't lock in.
I don't know. 79.
Close. 83.
80.
Moonrise Kingdom is certified fresh. 93.
Are you shitting me?
Fuck.
No, fuck this.
Yeah.
I wasn't lying to you.
Scratched out 81. Wow. Right.
Our final film.
It better be Troop Beverly Hills.
1 year after their crazy prom night, five friends reunite in this sex-crazed sequel to rent a beach house and throw the best summer party Lake Michigan has ever seen. One of them, however, suddenly leaves when he realizes true love is waiting for him where he left it, at band camp.
Oh.
Starring Jason Biggs, Allison Hannigan, Sean William Scott, and Shannon Elizabeth from 2001, American Pie 2.
There are a lot of bad sequels to American Pie.
Yeah, that really branched out.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a tight game. I'm a little behind. Gina Bald.
No.
Pretty.
I whiffed it so hard on the first one. Oh, I don't really? Even know. Yeah. Mm. I said 36. It was 76.
I think Brian's then got a lead here. But it's tightish.
Yeah.
It's a competitive game.
Two potential outcomes for this. This is a bad movie, so it could be just a bad score. The critics, I have no doubt, missed on the first one, you know, because it's like a raunchy sex comedy. They probably gave it like 50-something, and it was a really popular movie. There's always the makeup factor with the sequels, and I was like, oh, we're hip. But it also could
be
bad.
Theory. It's a theory.
All right. I got to make up some points.
Hold on.
I got to go bold.
Hold on. Okay.
21.
27.
Oh.
Oh, shit. We end as we began with me possibly being real off. I've listened to this fucking asshole. So I said 68.
Oh, well, look.
That's possible. That is possible.
You should have gone 48.
Well.
You could have said, well, let's see.
American Pie is rotten.
Oh. But hold on.
It popped up.
52.
Uh-oh, you made up some points there, Gina.
That actually made it a close game. What did you say, 68?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fresh, Gina. That should have been a middle. It's a two. It's
we nailed the audience score.
That's
you
right.
Thank you very much.
Two of you got scores of 106. One of you got a score of 96.
Oh, boy.
No winners in this game.
No.
Well, there's one winner.
That is correct. No winners in this game.
Okay, yeah.
For the tie, for second place, is Adam and Gina at 106. Bald Brian got 96, but he's not a winner.
I'll take it.
Sad.
This is one of those games where, and I don't know if Brian has ever been involved with any of these or anybody in this building, but once in a blue moon, if you're on like a good Pop Warner football team and you guys played a weak Pop Warner football team and you won, but you didn't execute, you had like a lot of bad penalties and fumbles and stuff. Coach sometimes after games like we're doing laps and they're like we won like you guys look like shit out there. So hit the track, Brian. Ain't a victory lap.
That's fair. Yeah, it's fair.
Did you ever experience that in your playing days?
No,
you got yelled at after a loss.
No, we weren't good enough. When I was a coach,
after a win. Sorry,
I think I told this story. When I was a coach, our head coach got kicked out of a game for yelling at a referee, and according to league rules, he couldn't coach the next game. So I had to be head coach for one game.
Wow!
I know we were playing the best team in the league.
Oh boy,
probably Notre Dame, probably or St. Fran, one of those Valley. You know,
when you were coaching.
Yes, when I was coaching. I'll just skip to the end. We lost 7-2.
Wow.
I know. We got a safety.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of that school.
And then the coach.
Crespi.
It was one of those. Yeah, the coach. He was pissed at his team because we were not good. Was coaching. They played like shit. Boy, I like to think that we, you know, played tough.
All right.
7-2.
Fitzdog will be joining us in a moment. First, I'll tell you about Keeps. August is National Hair Loss Awareness Month.
Oh, thank God.
Circle that month, man. And did you know 2 out of 3 guys may experience some form of hair loss by the age of 35? Over 50 million men in the U.S. experience male pattern baldness. Keeps, it's a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctors, consultations, and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months in discreet packaging. Low cost starts at just $10 per month. Treatment plans are typically half the cost of pharmacy prices. Prevention is key. Treatment can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so you need to act fast. So keep the hair you got with Keeps, right, Dawson?
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/Adam to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/Adam to get your first month free. keeps.com/Adam.
Greg Fitzsimmons, we know him as Fitzdog, will be joining us right after this.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.